You're tuning in to the Moss LeRae Show.
Purpose is more so allowing God's will to be done.
We need to give our kids and our young people the opportunity to dream to be kings and queens.
My identity isn't in what I do, but it's in who I am.
I'm your host, Alicia LeRae Ellis. Never miss a beat. Stay mic'd up with Moss LeRae.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us. We are here for Concrete Canvas. As mentioned, this is the first of a quarterly event that we're going to be doing here at the Midtown Tech Hive. It's a great opportunity to showcase stories in Cleveland. This one is focused around artistry and creatives. And we hand selected this amazing panel. So I want to just gonna pick up the energy here and just give them a warm welcome to the Concrete Canvas today. Thank you. Before I introduce them, I'll introduce myself. My name is Alicia Ellis. Some of you know me. I am the creator of Moss LeRae, which is a multimedia platform. And today we are officially recording for the Moss LeRae Show. It is a podcast where we help share stories through culture, lifestyle, entrepreneurship, and social impact. And so it's exciting for us to be partnering with Digital C here in Midtown as we talk about what we want our city to look like now and the work that not only our panelists, but many of you in this room has continued to reshape the city. Many people think that we are in what we call a renaissance, and I want to say that we are, and a lot of you are contributing to that renaissance. So again, I'm going to do my best to host and moderate this amazing discussion. But before we go ahead and do that, I want to just do a brief intro, and I hate reading bios myself, but I'm going to try to do the best I can, and then I'll have each of the panelists go ahead and introduce themselves. So first on my, I'm just going to go this way. So we got Jimmy Woody is an actor, director, producer, and multimedia artist here in the city. He's worked with Cleveland Public Theater, along with working at in New York City in amazing projects. Next to Jimmy is Lacey, who needs no introduction in this city. He's an amazing, versatile artist, from everything that you see, from murals to her merchandise and creating spaces for women like her and other minorities to help share their stories through artistry. So we want to welcome you. And then Destiny Rodriguez, we want to welcome you to the creative, the Concrete Canvas as well. A native of Cleveland, also considered herself as a contemporary illustrator here. I was worked with brands locally, but also with Walmart and Adidas, and we want to just continue to celebrate her and the work that they're doing in our city. And last but not least, Corey Grand, who is an amazing, most demanded DJ in our city, but he's also worked with powerful brands locally. He's worked on our project like Futureland, but he's also worked with organizations like Google Pixel, Hennessy, The Rock and Roll, Red Bull. I mean, the list goes on of the work that you've done. So we want to just go ahead and give all of our speakers and panelists an amazing welcome here. So with that being said, I want to just kind of tee up the dialogue that we're going to have. Again, we want to make sure you guys meet the artists and the speakers right after our discussion so you can ask them your questions and you can, you know, look at the work that they're doing. But the overall conversation today was the importance of how do we share the stories that are happening in our city from working with local brands, but obviously global brands that some of these speakers have worked with and continue to work with and growing their creativity around the world. And so ultimately, we wanted to create a space where, how many of you have heard of the City Club? Here locally. Okay, a couple of people. Ultimately, a city club is, it's great. I've been there. I love it. But we wanted to kind of create our own version of a neighborhood-based city club where we can help share the stories that might not be at that platform or may not always have the opportunity to share their stories in those different spaces. And we want to really dive into the creative artists in the city of Cleveland, which is why we selected you all. And we hope that this series continues to grow. But overall, we want to learn about how you embarked on your creative journey. So we're going to kind of get a little deep with one another. And we also want to talk about what it means to be a Cleveland-based artist. We know that historically, there's articles and there's a lot of things that have come out in our city. It's not always the easiest place to thrive in. It's not always the easiest place to grow and scale. And so we want to hear the raw side of what your experience has been as you scale and you look. So that's how I wanted to tee up the dialogue. So our first question that we have is, overall, you know, tell us about your personal journey. And I read a little bit about your bio, but if you want to go a little bit deeper individually of what your bio doesn't share, so the audience can get a little bit more familiar with who you are and kind of your artistry. And we'll go ahead and just start because you're right next to me, Jimmy.
All right. My name is Jimmy Woody. I'm an actor, director, teaching artist. I'm a director of community programs at the Center for Arts Inspired Learning, little bit about me. I'm originally from Cleveland, was born on East 138th and Harvard, but my father moved us out to Orange Village. That was an interesting experience. Then eventually I went to Kent State, played football, was really good at football, but I tore my collarbone, my knees, all that stuff, was recruited by the NFL, and I decided I did not want to be an athlete. So from there, I was like, I want to be some kind of a creative. And for me, out of nowhere, two friends that were girls came up to me and was like, Kent State. You went to Kent State, right? Yes. Can't read, can't write, Kent State. That's our little saying, just to understand. But these two girls came up to me and they were like, yo, there's a Black Renaissance pageant and nobody knows about you on campus, so we signed you up. I was like, what do you mean? I play football. What do you want me to do in a Renaissance pageant? Throw a football? So they're like, figure out the talent. So from there, I took a song by Rochelle Farrell called Peace on Earth, and I didn't sing it. I got up and I did it as a dramatic monologue. Walked off stage, all my football buddies up in the balcony, walked off, everybody was quiet. So I was just like, what was going on? I thought I sucked. But this young lady that was off stage had tears in her eyes. And I was like, I sucked. I really sucked. She's like, she literally grabbed my face, walked me to the edge of the stage, showed me the audience. And I was like, what's going on? She's like, you did that. And I was like, wow. And if any of you guys have ever been an actor, it's called being bit by the bug. And I got bit. And from there, I took 3 months of acting classes at Kent State, auditioned at Juilliard, NYU, Columbia, and I got into Columbia and had a lot of fun doing that. And unfortunately, my father got sick and I came back home. But I always wanted to bring that kind of spirit back to Cleveland. So I'm not going to keep talking because I can't talk forever.
No, thank you. That's great. Thank you. And not that you just slid over. Like, I got, drafted by the NFL. You just kind of like slid over that part. But we're gonna come back to that.
Yeah, we'll come back.
Lacey, if you wanted to share a little bit more about who you are and kind of your story.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. How you doing? Oh, yes. So my name is Lacey Talley, and I am a graphic designer, illustrator. I work on murals. I love art. I'm born and raised in Cleveland, 10-5 in Kempton, but I grew up on a harbor too.
Okay.
Yeah. I went to Kent State for graphic design and Pan-African studies. And actually, at the Renaissance Ball was the first time I did like a live painting. And ever since then, I've just been doing it. You know?
Nice.
Well, ever since Kent, I've been a freelance artist. And yeah. That's me in a nutshell. I'll tell you more later.
We're going to have to pull out some of these Q&As real quick. Go ahead, Des.
Well, my name is Destiny. How I got into art, I've kind of always done art as a kid, and then it just became something I grew out of, just getting older and just finding different things that I became interested in. But it was around 2015 that I really decided to tap back into doing art again. I was in New York. I went to a Blick. I bought colored pencils. I bought markers. I really took it right back to like the nitty gritty of art back like when you were a kid. And I just started drawing again. And I came home and I tried to figure out what can I do with these drawings. And I decided to download an app on my phone because I felt like there's an app for everything else. There has to be an app for me to draw on my phone. And I found one, which was Adobe Draw, which is now Adobe Fresco. And I just started drawing off my iPhone, and that took off. I started drawing Charlie Brown characters, and people really liked it. So I kept going with it, and I ended up drawing different art. I kind of grew out of the Charlie Brown, even though I still do it here and there. But that digital art kind of just took off, and it launched me to where I am today, doing work with local brands. I've done work for Walmart recently and Adidas last year. That's really me. I do art, and I do social media for people. So, yeah.
We got a humble panel. We're gonna get deep. I'm telling you, but this is our intro. I'm gonna pull it out of them, y'all. I promise
really talk
you.
To people. So, yeah.
We got Des out the house, so this is an accomplishment today. All right, Corey, you wanna go ahead?
Corey Grant here. Probably seen y'all somewhere DJing, or maybe I popped up making some beats somewhere. Born and raised Cleveland, Ohio. Grew up around the 116th area. Always was into music. Always wanted to pursue DJing. I think since I was like 9, I saw some DJs just like kind of just mixing some records, and I thought it was so cool just because they had two of the same records and they were making like a whole new sound from it. So kind of got turned on to DJing around then. I was making mixtapes and stuff like that when I was a teenager, like 16, 17. Went to the military 19. And then when I got back, I had got a nice income tax check, and I was like, yo, I'm just going to go forth with the DJ thing. So I went, bought all of my equipment, and it's just been history ever since then. Always just been into music, love producing, and it's pretty much.
Awesome. Well, thank you. So I want to kind of talk about, let's just jump right into Cleveland, like the culture here and how maybe the city has inspired you or you have inspired the city within your creativity. And I'm just going to work backwards this time and jump with you, Corey.
Cleveland is dope because it's such a tough city. And I feel like most Midwest cities, we just represent hard work. So just being from here, it just kind of creates like a hustler mindset, and being able to implement art back into the place that you have roots from, I think that's really important. And I think it's important to inspire the next generation of Cleveland and whatnot, and they're going to do it better than we did it. So that's really like, when I think about art here and what it means to me, that's what I feel. You know, I want to make the next generation better than we are.
I love that. I love that. And support. And I think you're doing that in so many ways. Many of us are doing that in so many creative ways. What about you, Destiny? How has the city either like crafted your inspiration, or how do you feel like you're inspiring the city now through your art?
I mean, I love being from Cleveland. I'm also a flight attendant on the side. And I'm always advocating for Cleveland. I think this is a great city. It's gritty, but, you know, there's some great people. There's some great things happening here. Doing art for the city of Cleveland and having that be a representation of me. Like, when LeBron left, obviously everybody was sad about that, but when LeBron went to the Lakers, that impacted me because I lived in LA for a year. And back when I lived in LA, I made art because I missed Cleveland. I made a Cleveland logo with an LA logo within it. And so when he left, I felt like that was the right opportunity to shine light. Like, you know, he left, but it's still Cleveland at the end of the day. So I made those shirts just for me and my people from Cleveland who moved to LA, and it took off. Just Cleveland is just the shit, period. Like, we love being from Cleveland. Anybody that's from Cleveland, we're going to wear Cleveland stuff. So, I mean.
Facts. I just wore my shirt the other day, too, by the way. So still repping hard.
You still got it.
Yeah. Durable. That's a good plug for sure. What about you, Lacey? Kind of what has Cleveland inspired for your art, or what do you feel like you're giving back to the city and your inspiration through your art creativity?
So through my creativity, I feel as though I give like through my art, like more awareness around like just mental health and being self-aware and different ways to practice grounding and self-coping. And yeah, that's my give back to the city.
Also, bringing more awareness. How has like the city inspired you? Do you feel like any inspiration that the creativity and like the city, the urban feel, you feel like that has inspired your art in a new way?
Oh, greatly. It has inspired me to like really like come into myself and learn how to be, you know, have tough skin. Cleveland is rough sometimes, but the city has taught me how to advocate for myself as an artist, as a young woman, as a young Black woman, and I'm thankful for it.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you. How about you, Jimmy?
Cleveland is about grind. If you're an actor and you go out, you meet other actors out in LA, there's a whole community of Clevelanders. that all just hang together, but they're tough. They're tougher than, I'm sorry, no shade in, against LA people and people in California, but they all say, like, there's something about Clevelanders that just, they bring a different energy. They just hustle harder. They, you know, just they just perfect their craft a little bit better. And I say for me, like, I feel like I've had a I've had an imprint on this city, because when I came back from New York City, I used to go to this thing called Thought Forms Underground. It was one of the livest sets, like in Soho, in a basement where it was like DJs, food, artwork, people, and I was meeting like the Roots. I was meeting Jill Scott. I was meeting all these heroes, and it was just matter of fact. It was no big lofty thing, and I just loved the vibe that that gave. So when I came back to Cleveland, I was like, I'm going to do something that's just like that. And I took my father's building, and I put this thing in called The Labyrinth. And thank you. So The Labyrinth was all these different art forms mixing and mingling and just seeing people just build and create and collaborate. To me, was that was the joy, because I'll just say this one last thing. I would tell people, like, hey, I got to go to bed, so please just lock the door when you're out. I would literally wake up in the morning, 9 o'clock, and there would still be people like rapping, painting, commiserating. I was like, wow, that was love. So I'm going to keep it short now. Thank you.
I love that. I think there's some, we all face different challenges here. I mean, I want to get into some of that, because we, yes, we love the city, but there's also the statistics of how many. I just did a podcast a couple of weeks ago, and a clip came out today about how many entrepreneur and people of color leave the city, creatives, artists, to go somewhere else to thrive. So I want to talk a little bit about that, because I know most of you guys travel with your art as well. But that's not everyone's story. So sometimes artists, especially artists of color, entrepreneurs of color, they don't get the support that they need to thrive and get in the, what we, you know, get in the bag, right? So what would you say your experience has been maybe early on, if you think about 5 years, 10 years back, starting your artistry? Did you feel like you had the support in the community? It's also a cliquey city too. So, right, we all have our own groups that people we roll in, and sometimes we work in isolation, and it's hard for people to break through. So I'm curious to hear some of your guys' experience early on as you were trying to break through your own ceiling in this city. How was your experience? Go for it.
I mean, you kind of just got to leave just to see what the world is like. You can't really grow your mind, you can't grow your artistry, you can't grow as a person or a being for you if you don't leave. You got to take that risk. When I left to LA, I didn't know anybody out there. I just felt like LA was where I needed to be. That's where I gravitated towards. And whether or not I succeeded in LA or not, I knew taking that leap, when I came back home, I was going to have that type of like ambition, and I was going to find that drive being out there to come back here and really know what it was that I was going to do. Even like just traveling in general now as a flight attendant, going to different cities and just seeing how people operate, it makes me come back here and look at Cleveland in a different light. Mm-hmm. Being here and you not traveling, you're not really seeing what's going on out there. So a lot of people feel like Cleveland is kind of lagging and not really progressing, but Cleveland really is. You just got to take that into consideration, that you just got to get out and meet people and talk to your peers and your community.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Yep. Who else wants to jump in?
No, to piggyback off what she was saying, you do, because for a long time when I would say like in the earlier years of my career, I travel like a little bit, travel here and there. And honestly, once you're traveling a lot more and you can go out and build with these people in these other cities, you realize like how much talent you actually got, how much further you probably are than you think you are. Because like, you know, even going back to what we were saying, Cleveland is a hard city. So the way people show love here is not going to always be the way you might want to receive it or even reciprocate it. But I do agree with her. I do think you have to go out and explore the world a little bit. And, you know, I think even for me as a DJ, like, you know, I've had sets here where I DJ where it's like, I probably didn't think I did a good job, or maybe I didn't feel that. And then it's like, you know, you might do the same type of set out of town and you'll have like 20, 30 people coming, oh, you went crazy, you know? So I think you just have to go get that experience and build a network, because that's so important. And I think you got to kind of also look at it a little bit past Cleveland too. Mm-hmm. And we always going to bring it home. Like my guy said, you know, you always going to bring it back home. You know, whenever you go see anything in the world, you always bring it back to Cleveland. And like you said, with a different perspective. But I just think you got to kind of look at the world a little bit outside of Cleveland too.
And, you know, not to even like belittle anybody's pockets or anything, but most people don't have it financially to go see the world. Even if you're just expanding outside of Cleveland and go to like Pittsburgh, you know, Pittsburgh has a lot of nice museums to get inspired from. Even just the culture in general is real dope to just like piggyback off of their type of lifestyle and bring it back here and, you know, implement that into your day-to-day and how you operate with people and your art. Or even just going to Columbus or just taking a day trip. Like, these places, they're accessible without needing to have like a lot of funds to go see the world.
Yeah, that's good. That's a great point. Jimmy, you want to jump in?
In one hand, you don't necessarily have to move out of Cleveland. You just gotta find things that really like spark your interest. I'd say for me, and this is a shameless plug, I'm directing August Wilson's Jitney for the Beck Center. Goes up next week. Thank you. Yeah, give August some love. Cool thing is, if you know August Wilson, all his plays take place in Pittsburgh. And so I said, you know what? Let's go to the Hill District. Let's go to where August Wilson wrote. So in January, my cousin Sabrina set me up, and I actually got to experience that. But then also in February, some of y'all like this, I needed some directorial inspiration. So I went to New York City, and I went to Spike Lee's exhibit. Have you heard? He had a wonderful exhibit at the Brooklyn Museum of Art, and it just gave me so much inspiration. And I love music, and he kind of gave me like license to really put music in my show. And so I was like, I'm not moving forward till I get the song and the stuff that I really want to have in there. And but you just got to feed your soul. And like another thing I want to do is I love getting outside of Cleveland. I love Philly. Have any of y'all been to Philly? Philly, and yeah, I see you, man. And just the brotherhood that a place like Philly has, that I go to the Roots Picnic almost every year. And just the love that you get from everybody, it's just wonderful. Cleveland has it. It just needs to work harder at it. That's it.
That's good. Go ahead, Lacey, you want to add to it?
I do. So in my earlier stages of being an artist, one of the things I ran into was like, oh, come do this mural for exposure.
And work for free.
Like, you know, it's like it doesn't pay the bill.
Right.
So, but I had to go through that to get to where I am now. And like, I really didn't understand my worth as an artist until I worked with this company. So they had like this event in another city in Ohio, and I was like, they paid for my gas, they paid for my hotel, and they bought some of my art. So it was just like having that, I didn't even know that existed. So having like that experience really just set the precedence of how I like operate with companies out of town and in the city. Cause it's like, it should be like, you know, I'm powerful and people appreciate my art, so we're moving differently.
No, that's really good. And that's why I went to the comedy club a couple months ago, and there was an artist there performing, and he's from Cleveland, and he got up and like no one clapped. First of all, we didn't know he was from Cleveland. Like that wasn't announced. Not that it matters, but no one clapped for him. And he got up, he said, this is why, and he was a comedian, so he joking. He's like, well, this is why I hate Cleveland. It's like showing the love. And so like then we started clapping. He's like, I'm from Cleveland. He's like, you know, you gotta talk about what neighborhood, what high school, right? You gotta like make sure that you're from Cleveland and not like Shaker or Willoughby, because that matters to Clevelanders real hard. They wanna know where your mama lives.
Shaker kid.
It's like, what grade school did you go to? I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. I didn't know I needed to know all that. My birth certificate. take it. But all of that is important in the sense of support. So I wanted to kind of get a little deeper with you guys on the support with your tribe, right? Your community, especially early on in your journey. But even now, what does that support group look like for you? Is it other artists in that group? Is it mainly friends? Is it mainly family? What does that support look like for you now in your artistry?
For me, with the Monday program, the whole reason we created it was for collaboration. I think collaboration is powerful. And in Cleveland, I know sometimes we can get a little jaded working with each other. But, I mean, like, that turned from taking Mondays and we're just making beats. That's where it started, just me and a few friends. We're just making beats. And that's turned into an entire group of producers, artists. I mean, shout out Cass. He does engineering, producing, Trav. You know, he does music with us and performances. So I think the biggest thing is finding the purpose of what you want to do. And purpose is so important because it creates a mission. And my biggest mission was to collaborate with more people from Cleveland to showcase those restaurants, those bars, or even just an artist. You know, it could, like, last Monday we dropped a video and it was with a yoga artist. So the biggest thing I think is if you really want to see that level of camaraderie and collaboration, you gotta put forth the effort to do it. Because we all, you know how we are in Cleveland, we all be like, oh, well, it's supposed to be like this, but we gotta be the people to actually implement it.
No, for sure. That's another reason why we want to put these type of events on, so we're celebrating each other. And sometimes I feel like, as relates to collaboration in the city, we're not taught how to collaborate. We're so in competition, the survival mindset here, like, there's not enough for me and you to both eat, so I'm going to have to take my scarcity mindset with it. So, like, being taught how to collaborate and having these type of discussions, like, oh, how are you collaborating, and feeling like you're also winning in that collaboration, too, which is important. Others on support that you're...
Yeah,
right
I mean,
now?
Yeah, I think when you're an artist, and you guys can probably relate to this with family, maybe your family members really truly don't support you. And so you got to find those people within your family that do support you. You got to find those people within your community that do support you. Like, I've been a teacher for 15 years, so I got Tri-C students that still reach out to me that, like, when's the next gig and when are you doing this thing? And or I've worked at CMSD, and now some of these kids are like our parents, you know? And so I find my community where I get it. And shout out to my cousin and to my friend Lakeisha right here. So thank you. All right.
Love it. You want to talk anything about support that you're receiving, kind of like your tribe? What does that mean? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, and so when building your tribe, it takes time because, you know, it's like, when it comes to, like, building your tribe, you have to really assess, like, what kind of energy you want around you and what are things you don't tolerate. And for me, when it came to, like, creating my tribe, I made a list of things that I want to attract. Things I don't want. And it made it easier to sever ties with people who are part of the old tribe so I can make room for the people for the new tribe. So it definitely helps, like, visually seeing and identifying what you want versus what you don't want.
So true.
Yeah, I think that goes, like, also with how you grow as a person, like, in your seasons. Like, you may be attracted to a certain type of lifestyle in 1 year, and then you realize, like, just something snaps in your head where you're like, you know, I don't want to go on West 6th every weekend. I want to actually have purpose in my weekends. And so with that energy that you're attracting now, you just sit and you just ask God, like, you know, these are the tools that I want, and this is what I want to sharpen, and these are the type of people I want to attract and be around. And you just end up, like, finding it, like, the energy, just you end up realizing who you want to be, where you want to be around, the type of people you want to be around, and your community gets built like that.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, to that point of as we grow, we also are attracting new things. Mm-hmm. I feel like you hear a lot about like the dating scene, you attract who you are, exactly. Or the mess that you are, yeah. And you realize, well, while I'm always attracting this negative, what do I need to change within myself to attract more positive and more light things? Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and even when you're growing, you know, some of your people, some of your tribe don't want you to grow.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you got to be willing to like step outside of that and be brave.
And yeah. They may not even know that, too. Yeah. It may not even be a thing of jealousy or anything. They just have that fear of being from Cleveland and not supporting people with dreams, because dreams and aspirations are not going to pay the bills. Like, being from Cleveland, a lot of people don't make it out of here. For our older generation to know, like, hey, if you want to be an artist, if you want to paint, like, I don't know anybody from my era that's made it.
Right.
So you wanting to do that, no, go work in that factory, go make a check. Like,
yeah, and you got to have an idea what making it is for you.
For you, not for anybody else.
Yeah, and it looks so different for everybody. And we had that, like, kind of within our culture here of acting brand new. It's like as if we're supposed to remain the same our whole lives. It's like, oh, she's done changed. I'm like, even with the family and the friends of support or lack thereof. So now we kind of got a room full of people, and in its own sense, what would you want support to look like for you as an artist going forward? If you can have your own type of call to action with people, friends and families that are here wanting to support you, how can we kind of leverage this opportunity in the platform to continue to support each of you in your artistry? How would you want that to support to look like now or in the future?
Yeah, that is it. You ain't gave us a good one there.
Hey.
Here, I'll take a deep breath. Yeah, the big thing for me is like collaboration, you know, and we as Clevelanders just got to work better at collaborating, because sometimes collaboration is dictation. Oh, me and Corey are collaborating. Now, Corey, go create some music for me. But real collaboration, it's a back and forth. It should be communicative in some kind of way. And so for me, that's what I'm always looking for, and that's what I want to continue to build. Are collaborations with good people and good organizations.
I love that. That's
and it's more than a social media post. Right. It goes beyond that. Like, we're not just going to do one project. We're not just going to do one post. Like, go beyond that. Like, if we both do dope things, let's continue that, and let's spread that momentum amongst our circles, like your community, my community. If I know somebody that might do good work with your people or you in general, Be that glue, be that bridge.
Yeah, that's awesome. Anyone else want to add to that? Support? What would you want your support to look like now and kind of in the future?
I don't know. Like, for me, I just, as far as support, I just want it to be organic. I don't like forced support. Like, if we have a show, you know what? I'll put it like this. Support for me is, like, we did Rock Hall last year. So we performed, I think it was, like, July 27th, me, Trav, Cass, Nuke, bunch of artists that we work with the Monday program. And what was so cool, like, let's say Trav is up, right? He's performing. And then all the rest of the people that were, you know, like, all right, this is not my song, they went down there and they supported them. They sang every word with them. They made whoever was on that stage, they made feel good, and they were a part of the show. And I don't know, that moment made me want to cry, because it was just so beautiful seeing artistry just at its highest form, just seeing people, seeing us on the stage and just performing, but also, like, we're confident, because that's a big stage to do. Shout out Rock Hall, that was a big stage. So, all of us were super proud of that, but it was just in that moment, seeing Nuke down there and he's supporting Trav, or seeing Trav down there and he's supporting Sierra, or Cass is up there, or whatever, whoever the artist is. But it was just that was the day I truly understood support, because I never felt like that before. Wow.
No, that's dope. Thank you for sharing that.
So support for me, I would say just like really spreading the word. Because I know everyone can't come to every art show and every paint and sip, but, like, for example, I did a paint and sip 2 weeks ago, And it was a woman, she found me on Eventbrite. And we had a really good time. It was a blast. So then, like, the next weekend, she brought her whole family to my class. Wow. And it made, you know, and it just really just, it made my heart very warm because, one, it was a good time. And it was like she just spread the word just about the art, my paint and sip class. So it was just like having that type of support, it really, it goes a long way. And it feels good.
That's awesome. So again, another opportunity for everyone here to look at different ways that we can support, you know, one another, for sure. And I think the collaboration piece is something we're starting to get a little bit more open to. But again, like we have to set our boundaries. Like, what defines support? Define collaboration. Define what you want out of the deal. One thing that I realize is better to have these uncomfortable conversations early in the partnership or collaboration than further down, because the more direct that we are up front, like, you know, I'm looking to collaborate with you because I also want to grow my business. I also want, like, there's no selfishness in this. Like, just be clear. Like, yeah, I want to, like, have a more following. I want people to buy my art. Like, those are good things, but sometimes we don't lead with that in the conversation. So, like, being able to create those safe spaces where we can say, like, no, this is also about business just as much as it is about wanting to support one another, too. Like, we got to make money. Like, that's also part of the bottom line in that. So challenges, you know, we do the fluffy talk and Cleveland's great and all these things are great, but we face challenges. So I'm curious, the art and culture scene, creative scene is obviously very diverse. It's always been rooted in culture. But I'm curious to learn about your individual journeys as a Black artist, Hispanic artist, woman-led artist. Any challenges that you faced in those specific scenes, just being of maybe a different ethnicity or a different gender, and kind of how has those challenges been for you, and maybe how have you persevered through?
So I'll start.
Go with it.
So I faced a lot of challenges when I was first starting as an artist. So just like, one, just knowing my worth as far as like how much to charge an hour. I definitely didn't account for gas. But that came with like experience and going through different opportunities, and also talking to artists that are older than me and also that are my peers, and how to structure, like, how do you charge as a traveling artist? How do you charge for a live painting? So like when it comes to like working with different companies, I do like a checklist. So it's like, one is the pay fair and like fair for me. Did they reach out in enough time, like not like 2 days before the event? Do our goals align with each other? And is this something I'm really just passionate about doing? So I use that as like my standard when people reach out for opportunities. And can you say the question one more time?
Overall, this is a challenge maybe as a woman or as a minority woman in the space. Have you faced any challenges that you can maybe pinpoint to that specifically? And if so, how have you like overcome those type of challenges?
Oh yeah, so the way I overcame those are really leaning heavily on my mentors. So like Antoine Washington is one of my mentors, and we have lots of chats about how to just advocate for yourself as an artist and how to charge for what the services that you do and to not leave anything on the table. And to always negotiate, because it's always extra there. Yeah.
Yep. Knowing that kind of that fear of, oh no, this is what we have. But I think for me, I've realized too, like almost getting into my 10th year of entrepreneurship, last year was kind of like my sweet year where I finally was able to say no to things that's like, oh, I don't need that check no more. Like I can say no and feel good about saying no and then feel good about saying yes to certain projects. In those spaces,
the power
too.
Of no.
Yes, freedom, like artistry and freedom, for sure.
I also want to add one more thing. So, like in my notes phone, I keep like a list of all my services and the prices that I have. So I like sometimes as an artist, you get asked like, "Okay, how much is this?" on the spot, and it's like, "No."
Right.
I will get back to you in 24 hours with a quote. You know? So it's like good to just keep it in your phone for future reference, but still I never give a quote on the spot. And I also don't put my prices on my website because they're always changing. And let's say, you know, you got a price for like a live painting for $150. 6 months went by, you didn't update your website. But your talent's updated. And so, yeah, don't put your prices on the website as an artist.
That's okay. Anyone else about challenges?
Yeah. You got to be careful of the word little. Hey, can you do this little painting for me?
Simple.
Could you give me a little bit of music? Could you? I'm scared of people when they say stuff like that. But I would say definitely like challenge maybe sometimes is just business, professionalism, and showing up and being there and responding to people at times. But then also just as a culture, I'm speaking more specifically to African-American culture, is that we just got to take care of each other a little bit better. Because I never forget when I first came back here, some people told me like, oh, you got an MFA from Columbia University. Everything's going to be easy for you. And I was like, okay. And I never forget, CMSD did this summer literacy program and they awarded me $60,000. So I had to find artists. So I was literally offering this artist $50 an hour. How many of y'all would take $50 an hour as an artist, right? He stops. Looks at me, and I'm going to say this word, I'm sorry. He looks at me and goes, you got that damn degree. You know what? You know who you are? And this is a brother. He's like, you know who you are? You still a nigga to me. And I was like, dang, I'm offering you a gig. And you chopping off my head. But that's what I mean by just being kinder and being more. And then years later, I run into this guy, and he goes, I was a jerk. I don't know where my head was at. I was whatever. But sometimes there's challenges when you're trying to work with people. And, you know, you got a great thing going. There might be some people that like, Alicia, nah, I don't want to mess with her. But we just got to be kinder to each other as artists.
And stop asking for a discount.
Right.
Yeah. You don't go to Walmart asking for a discount. You don't go to Target asking for no discount. What you asking me? Can I get this for the free? You gonna hold the tax? No. Support me. That's real support. Supporting somebody is not asking for a discount. You got to know your worth on that, though.
Yep. Can I cash app you? No. Go to the website.
Exactly.
Pay the fee on the website.
Drop it off for me?
No.
Can I come pick it up? No. You cannot.
Piggyback off of what he was saying. Yeah, I do think we have to, as African-Americans, I do think we have to make sure that we're taking care of each other, especially in these type of spaces with art. You know, it's like you said, for me, struggle-wise, it's like being an artist is kind of hard because you got to still, like, deal with your everyday life, especially if you're a full-time artist. So it's like, you know, when I'm not DJing or I'm not in the studio, it's like, I'm doing laundry and I'm making sure, you know, my mental health is cool and I'm doing all the stuff that, you know, it's really like just learning how to like balance out your life. And I think for me to overcome that, I had to be a little bit more structural. So I had to treat what I do every day like a job. Like from this time to this time, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm sticking to. I'm focusing and I'm disciplined on that. And because, you know, like, you know, we don't know how to punch a clock, so it's like it's easy to get lost in this lifestyle. So you have to, you just got to learn how to be focused and disciplined and learn how to balance out your life.
For sure, and that comes with time. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, I was working at for the last 6 years before I took this job at Center for Arts Inspired Learning, I was a film teacher at the Cleveland High School for Digital Arts. And the reason why I say that is that we don't understand the influence that we have on young people. And how we conduct our business is how they will conduct their business, but even worse. And so if we're not the good role models for these kids, they're gonna figure out their own way. And they are gonna figure out their own way, but will it be healthy? Will it be fortuitous for everybody? So we just gotta be mindful of what we're putting out there, though.
No, for sure. Which leads me to my next question, which I think you're over here peeking at my order, Jimmy. So I want to talk about community because I think a lot of us, where we're at because of community, whether it's your family, your tribe, your friends. How are you giving back to the community with your artistry and your creativity? And how would you want to kind of shape the community going forward through the work that you do? So two-part question. You can pick one or do both. It's up to you.
I'll do number one.
Okay.
So the way I give back to my community, so I'm a teaching artist with Cal and with the Caramu House. So I teach an upcycling workshop on how to, like, you know, take, like, old wood and just old different, like, pieces of material and bring it, give it a new life. I do the art, the business behind the art. So just, like, teaching, like, how to run your business as an artist. Like, how do you... you know, do that, especially as a young artist coming in, because I know I didn't have that type of support, and I definitely could have benefited from it early on in the game. So that's one of the ways that I give back to the community.
I love that.
Thanks.
What was the second part? What was the second part of my question about, like, shaping the community going forward?
For me, I want to give back to the community as far as, like, you know, doing more, like, kind of like how she said, workshops, doing different programs for kids. We're actually working on doing some stuff down at Riddle through music for kids. So the biggest thing is just, I think you build a community, especially the next generation. I think you build that by just letting them know it's possible. And also, you know, just being relatable to the community as well and letting them know that these resources do exist. You can do this too. You can put back into your community the same way. So for us at the Monday program, you know, we're trying to do that through music, and you know, we're trying to close the gap, or just close that just the whole mindset behind, you know, we don't want people to feel afraid to, like, want to learn about music or art or whatever it is that we do. So, you know, we do this so that they have the, you know, the skills, but also, like, the inspiration to be able to do it themselves. Like you said, we need the next generation. If we don't do it right in our generation, they're going to just do the same thing, but worse. So I think, you know, just got to figure out what your, you know, how you want to shape that community, and just find out, you know, the purpose for it and how to make, you know, get that drive for it. So I want to see more Monday programs. Like, I want to see more, you know, younger people creating these spaces for artists, and the spaces, you know, to make artists feel safe. You know, like, when we're in the studio every Monday at my house, in the attic, every single Monday. I never know who's coming over, but whenever people come over, you know, I want them to be in an environment where they can feel safe and they can feel like they can talk about what they need to. Or if they want to jump on a record, they can go jump on that. You know, I want that. And that might motivate them to create their own, you know, program, or it might motivate them to go create music or do whatever they want, you know. So I think the biggest thing is that we have to put back into the community what we want to see in it.
Yeah, 100%.
I give back. Hold 1 second real quick.
Sorry about that. Since you say programs, I give back. How many of y'all, when you're in elementary school, middle school, high school, wanted to play an instrument? Show of hands, audience. Good. How many of y'all would have loved to have learned something from that instrument, then get that instrument for free? So there's a program that I run. It's called ITM, Inspiration Through Music. Yeah, I'm sorry, shameless plug. But it's Inspiration Through Music, and it's a really great program that goes throughout all, not all, through Cadell Recreation Center and Thurgood Recreation Center and Studio 105. And they have a culminating event at Trinity Cathedral, which is really cool. So then my second thing is, how many of y'all, when you were in high school, would have loved to get paid for your art? Right.
Or learned about it.
Speaks of another program that Lacey was a part of called Artworks. So Artworks is a really great program because it is a master teaching artist program that where you have 10 apprentices. So if Lacey, doing the awesome work that she does, she would have 10 other apprentices that get paid. And what I love about it is it's usually these kids' first jobs. and they're in a community of artists. And a lot of our kids sit there and say, man, artworks is home because they're odd shaped. They're ugly, or the society thinks they're ugly, but they find a home with all these other artists and they're getting paid. They're learning job skills. A lot of these kids wind up going to colleges, wind up doing other supportive things. And I think one of the cool thing is we're going to do our culminating event at Mocha. So, and it's showing kids like, oh, not only can I create art, my artwork is going to be in this very awesome space. So building those bridges for kids and for our community is key for me.
Drop the mic, Jimmy. That's what he wanted to do. And not you calling people kids ugly. We're just going to...
I ain't calling them ugly, but they be like, oh, I'm odd shaped, Mr. Woody. I'm like, no, you're wonderful. You know, you're good. You're good. This is home. I got green hair. You're good.
Good. All are welcome. All are welcome. So we want to wrap up here with two more questions. One is the last... Second to last is advice, right? We got aspiring artists, creatives, maybe some who want to get into it but don't know how, maybe afraid, maybe at a pivotal moment. What type of advice would you give someone navigating through opportunities and challenges in their own creativity?
Have patience with yourself. Give yourself grace. You may not know it today, but you're going to figure it out within a week or so. And then you're going to look back and you're going to be like, oh, I was stressed out for nothing. I was going to figure out eventually. Just give yourself that grace.
Don't be afraid of having a mentor at all. Like, I had a mentor, shout out K-Nice. That was my DJ mentor. So, I don't know. I feel like I probably wouldn't even be up here. I probably wouldn't even be, like, where I'm at without, you know, that solid information. So, just seek. You know, go seek. Like, you know, if you have something that you want to put in this world, just seek how to do it. I mean, I know it sounds simple, but it's possible. You know, like I started this I started my DJ career in 2009 and I didn't know where I was going. I didn't even really know what I wanted to do except learn how to scratch. But that journey has evolved into so much and just even being able to give back to my friends, you know, family from this. So, just seek. You got to seek. You know, you can't really expect it to fall on your lap, but if you go seek, it'll find you.
And don't be afraid to ask questions either. I know a lot of people, like myself included, I would find myself being scared to ask somebody a question about something because I didn't want them to look at me like, what the heck? You didn't know that? I let my guard down and I would ask the question. So don't ever be afraid to ask somebody a question. 9 times out of 10, they would love to talk your ear off and tell you that story of how they figured it out.
I definitely say be open. Be open to learning. Be open. Like when I was a young actor, I just would watch other actors, experienced actors, and how they came to the theater, how they worked their lines, how they went over stuff. Even if it was visual arts or it's photography, I would just always watch other people and I would just glean from them. You know, as young artists, sometimes we just have a lot of ego and we got to just be open at times because why repeat stuff that everybody else has already discovered and they've already realized that that's a pitfall. And so like, I just always tried to listen to what others were saying and just try to be open to learning.
Not even as an artist, but as a person.
Definitely, definitely.
Lacey, anything you want to share? Advice for someone aspiring to be an artist or in their creativity right now?
Yeah, I would say definitely be patient with yourself as well. And to like look, like let's say you want to be like a visual artist, you'll find like an artist that you like admire and just shoot them a DM. So, because you know they may respond, more likely they will. So it's this artist that I've been like following for years. And I was like, because the position of where she's at, she was doing like a lot of brand partnerships. And that was something I was looking to get into. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it, I'ma just shoot her a DM. And she responded, and it's like now we're internet friends for the last few months, and it's so cool. And it's just like, and just come up, and to like she admires my work too. So it's just like reciprocated love. So you never know until you reach out. And to find a mentor, definitely for sure, just to have that extra bit of guidance with you. And trust the process, because it's only going to get better.
That's good. That's real good. Only thing I would add is the resources. I mean, in the city of Cleveland, there's so many resources. There are grants, there are opportunities. You just ran off a bunch. And in the room, like when you're in these type of spaces, go up, connect with these artists that are here, connect with other people in the space, and continue showing up for yourself, ultimately. So I love to wrap up the Mas Lerae show with the pure message, which is a positive message. We end every episode asking our guests, what is your pure message to the world, to the audience? And we ask you to share it with us today.
Mine is simple. It's just the Monday program's mission statement, inspire to create.
Inspire to create. That's it. I love it. Ooh, I would say you are deserving and you are enough.
That's good.
I would say resilience, because there is going to be a little struggle in there.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take it back to Shaker Heights, and we're going to pay homage to Mr. Hutch. Be the best.
I love it.
Be the best. Shout out Mr. Hutch.
Yes.
I think I heard a teardrop in here somewhere.
Well, we just want to appreciate.
It stuck with me. It actually sticks with a lot of people. You, as a kid, you don't realize him saying that all the time. You kind of think it was annoying. But when you grow older, it's like, oh, wow, he was really like instilling that in you. Like, yes. Be the best.
I love that. I love that. So much good, positive messages. Mine would be continue to spread the light. I mean, that's what the platform is all about. More light, supporting each other. And we do that through sharing stories and uplifting voices. So again, just want to applaud our panelists today for sticking with us. And being vulnerable and sharing your stories, hopefully that you guys can connect with them. We'll open it back up. There's food, there's drinks. And just want to thank all of you for kicking it with us today for Concrete Canvas. We'll see you back in June for our next series. So thank you again.
What? Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into the Mas Lerae Show. You can follow us on all social media at Mas Lerae. That's MasLarae. You can also check out our website for more behind-the-scenes content at maslerae.com.